and welcome to today's best podcast ever. I'm your host, Jason Martin, and I have with me my cohorts in action,
April Mitchell
and Chris Scott.
And we're going to be bringing a special Motor City edition to you. Woo-hoo! On this beautiful May 21st, which actually wasn't that bad up to a point where it started raining, but we'll get to that later. So, we've got some artists, some panels, some art, and just about anything else geeky that we have happened upon for this adventure of ours to Detroit, Novi, Michigan. So, which is the outskirts of Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, that's right, right? It's just on the outskirts?
Yep.
So, it is actually still technically Detroit.
It's Metro Detroit, so it counts.
Suburban. So... All right, yeah, so we'll go ahead and start off with a panel of ours that we saw. If anybody's familiar with Torchwood, Doctor Who...
Arrow.
Oh, yes, Arrow, definitely, the current Arrow. Which is funny, because he talked about that being like what he was known for in America, and then we know him more so for Torchwood and Doctor Who.
Right.
John Barrowman... had his own panel, and oh my god, it was fantastic.
Best however long of my life.
Anybody who opens up the podcast coming out in a skirt.
In a dress. A TARDIS dress,
yes.
And leggings.
And TARDIS
dancing.
Leggings.
Dancing. Like musical style dancing.
Oh my god, it was crazy. Because, yeah. And then he's just like, you guys are going to lead this thing for me. So, and he literally just fed off of every single question the people gave him.
Pretty much.
And it was just humor, joke, funny. We were laughing our asses
off. Oh, he was having way too much fun with the sign language lady, too. Oh my god.
I did not know just how funny John Barrowman was.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Like, and it's sad, because now, like, he's gone up, I mean, it's not sad for us, I mean,
no,
me personally.
No, he is officially my currently new favorite actor.
It's sad that I did not know this sooner.
Right?
Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
And what was even awesome about the panel is, like, right in the midst of the panel, he's calling out, I think it was his assistant, her name was Kelsey.
Oh, gosh.
It was her birthday, so he's all, like, hollering, Kelsey, and has us all singing happy birthday to her. As his sister's bringing in a birthday cake with candles lit on it.
Yeah. And then she had
her and Scott, his
Scott.
Husband,
yep.
Were giving cake to people in the audience.
It was great.
Well, I heard from a little birdie somewhere that Carol almost accidentally
I have
the cake to the face.
John.
Yep.
No, I have that on video.
No, no. He almost got it onto her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and she was wearing, you're right, yes. Sorry.
Jason got it on video, man.
She caught that in her
arms.
Yeah, I recorded the whole, everything. I recorded his whole entire, like, panel. It was great.
And there was this one lady in the back that kept trying to get him to sing Springtime.
Yeah.
Just trying to get him to sing, and he kept telling her to shut up.
He's like, I can't do that.
I can't do that.
So he kind of, like, starts going on and starts singing a little bit behind the, oh, yeah, and he was having great fun with the interpreter for sign language.
Oh, my
and
God.
Deaf people. And he kept saying, whipping, what was
donkey
it?
Donkey cock or something like that.
Yeah. And, like, she would do this, like, this, yeah, like this.
And then just kind of flop her
arm. You have to
arm.
See it. Yeah, it looked like she was flopping this huge thing at her crotch. And, like, so he would just keep doing it over and over again.
And he lost his shit every time she did it.
And the crowd was just, like, just, yeah, it was funny. And he was hiding behind her when everybody wanted him to sing that song.
Yeah.
So.
And then proceeded to, like, tell the story of when they wanted him to sing it in Germany.
Yeah. He's like, somebody yelled out, some Swedish guy yelled out, hey, can you sing this? And he's like,
Springtime for Hitler!
In the middle of Germany. Among many Germans.
He's like, not a good idea.
It's like Ixnay on the Inging Say.
Nine.
No, it was just the singing Springtime. Oh, he liked the sign language interpretation for Hitler.
Oh, yeah. He thought that was hilarious. It was just two fingers under the nose.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
He lost his shit then, too. It was great.
He's like, is that really? I was like, oh, that's great.
But he had some really deep messages for people, too.
Yeah, he had some very heartfelt messages,
too. Oh, my God,
too,
I almost cried.
Because he does a lot of public stuff, I guess, in England for people who are disabled and of, like, hard of hearing.
Yeah, he's got,
cancer.
Like, deaf.
A big cancer thing, is too, also.
Yeah, he's an advocate for deafness and for cancer and transgender
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so he had
Very
some really
nice
heartfelt moments there too. So, but yeah, fantastic.
And he hates answering favorite
oh,
questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Except oh, yeah. when. Except when.
Except when someone says, if you could choose one of the doctors to work with again, there was no pause. Yeah. He said, David Tennant.
And there's Damn. A reason why. Is because he's known as David Ten-Inch.
Yes.
He made that joke.
Oh my god, he was hitting on people so hardcore. Oh, it was hilarious.
Oh, the guy, they were having mic problems for some
oh,
of the speakers.
Oh yeah, the tech guy. Yeah, he was
hitting on the
tech
guy. Because the tech guy had to keep trying to fix. Oh, he was getting upset though too. By oh, yeah. It was kind of funny.
David Ten-Inch. That is horrible, but I love it. I love
fantastic.
It.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing. I mean, I want to go back and do it all over again, just that panel.
Oh, yeah.
I would just love to just sit in a panel with him all day.
Right.
So
I would love to just sit and hang out with him for a day.
His family's fantastic,
too. Oh, my God,
too.
They're all great. His husband's great. His sister's hilarious.
Yeah, his sister's probably takes after him the most,
oh,
probably,
yeah.
out of everybody
oh,
who's
yeah.
there, so...
And I was looking at when he was flipping through the cookbook with the guy in front of us. They've got, like, family photos in that book. I might have to buy that book.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, I might have to get my hands on that.
Probably not anymore. If
well,
I go online, it's probably
yeah,
more than that.
Now that we're not at the Comic-Con. So.
Yeah. Unless we try to track him down.
But, yeah, Carol was there. We were all waiting on John to finish with his photos. And she's just sitting there chatting with the volunteers and chatting with us. Because, you know, we were front and center pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is like, I think he didn't want to answer favorite questions either because, like, it would look bad. Because, like, he even said this. He's like, hey, you said this was your favorite at this Comic-Con.
Yeah, you can't take
like,
it back.
You can't take it back. Because you also said it at this Comic-Con that you like that one more. So, yeah.
And I thought about sitting in on the Sean Astin panel, but after what you said about the interviews, I'm like, well, I don't think I'll be heartbroken if I miss it.
Yeah, and I mean, it could have just been an early morning thing. You know, some people are not morning
people.
He just
people. Didn't have
his call
Yeah,
because
yet.
He's, even though I didn't talk to him just from a distance, he
yeah.
seemed kind of pleasant this morning.
He was
morning.
Incredibly smiling, happy
yeah.
when he was at his booth, and he was just being very pleasant with people. So I'm guessing it was just like a coffee thing or something like that.
It might have been, yeah.
Like he woke
I mean,
up on the wrong side of the bed.
Just to lay it out there, you know, I ran into, I didn't actually talk to him because I'm not that kind of guy to go up in there be all like, hey, I'm gonna talk to you and all that, but it's just I think he just had something going on that morning.
So if we have nothing else on Barrowman, we can unleash Chris on all of his panels.
Yeah, go for it.
Have at it, Chris.
Unleash the horde. Well, yes, I went into a lot of panels. I mean, well, I was the panel guy. Well, not even just the panels. I did get that those couple of press conferences. So I sat in on both of those. So first one was Michael Rooker. You know, we don't have to add in any notes on the these weren't panels. These were like the press conferences. Michael Rooker, freaking hilarious.
Oh yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
Which is sad that they had to end his character. Well, I mean, like, we probably won't be seeing him anymore.
Exactly. People were like, well, what if, you know, is there a way he can come back? And it's like, yeah, let's not
He's
push
He's Stardust
that.
Currently
push.
Right now, so unless there's a wish spell cast. Oh, wait.
This is the MCU. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, Coulson came back from the dead.
That
so.
Is very true. Hey, there's cloning.
And plus, hang on a second. I could have swore I saw him listed on other movies coming up that were. So you never know. It may be he may come up in other movies because he's not dead yet.
Right.
I mean, he's dead in Walking Dead, obviously.
Well,
yeah, definitely.
Or well, undead. Actually, undead. Oh, no. Yeah. They went back and... That's right. They found him, though.
Yeah, because it's showing here that some of his upcoming projects in 2018 is Avengers Infinity War.
What?
Yeah, I think he might. There might be like a flashback or something where he's
still gonna
he's,
be there.
I'm gonna. Sure yeah, I'm gonna. Sure, it's gonna be cameo kind of quality stuff there, which is good. I like it. He'll be like funny.
Yeah. So, actually, I won't necessarily go into.
Was Sean Gunn there too, or was it just Rooker?
It was just that early press conference was just Rooker. So I mean,
okay.
That was pretty damn funny. So I very much enjoyed seeing that. Very down-to-earth guy. It just totally... just actually remembering all this sometimes, it's just like the thoughts in my head, I'm just like, I'm reliving it, and it's kind of making me think happy thoughts, and it's just, it's crazy.
Well, I'm glad he got the part in Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's more of a redeeming part compared to what he had in The Walking Dead. Because I didn't like him from The Walking Dead.
No, me neither.
So, which I imagine most people wouldn't, because, you know, although at the end he kind of did do what he did, you know, as a kind of a redeeming thing, sort of, you know. Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing is he actually had watched Guardians 2 while, you know, like he went to actually one of those shows where they had it where they did the first one and then showed the second one. So he actually got to see that, you know, got to see the movie that way. And it's like, you know, you watch this whole Yondu arc that happened that, and it kind of is pretty powerful when you see it that way. But I'll go back into the Rooker stuff when I hit his panel. I sat in on the Weird Science trio doing a press conference. And, you know, Elon Mitchell Smith, I did not know, and I told you guys this on yesterday when I met up with you, I did not know that he left Hollywood and became a professor. That was pretty awesome. I want to look up his shit now.
Yeah, they made somebody made a special mention that he actually went back to school or continued his schooling or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, he had a BA in this, and an MA in this, and a doctorate in this, and it's just like, holy shit.
So, obviously, he didn't expect, you know, like, to just go straight into acting from, you know, that specific part, so.
Right, yeah. I mean, that is, like, his biggest role he ever had, and that's it, you know, and that's fine. He's okay with that. He was really down to earth. I mean, all three of them were really down to earth. You know, Kelly LeBrock. Anthony Michael Hall. I mean, Anthony Michael Hall with the whole mane of gray hair is just kind of like, he's gotten distinguished since the days that we saw him as Farmer Ted, the geek, Brian Johnson, whatever name you want to call him from whichever John Hughes movie. He had really fond memories of John Hughes. Because since he did three movies with him, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club and Weird Science. So he had really fond memories. They started off, like somebody started off saying, you know, it's a little bittersweet, but what did they feel about, or how did they, what did they get from Bill Paxton? And, you know, they just said Bill was such a lovable, down-to-earth guy and just a real salt-of-the-earth kind of person, and they missed him and all that. I mean, we all do. Come on. We all freaking do. Mm-hmm. So, it was nice to see them. I mean, Kelly LeBrock hasn't done much since. Elon Mitchell Smith, again, nothing really in Hollywood. You know, we've seen Anthony Michael Hall, and he, of course, everybody's always asking the whole, you know, what's your favorite this? I've decided I'm never, if I'm actually going to ask somebody something in a Q&A, I'm never going to ask them the, what was your favorite? I would be like, what is one of your favorites? It doesn't have to be your favorite, but something you really enjoyed from whatever property you worked on. Because, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole them and make them.
Yeah.
And that's from an experience from today's, one of today's things, so I'll get back to that. But, yeah, saw them. And then Friday, I then sat through the Tales from Gotham with Robin Lord Taylor. Now, I kind of did this for, because I've heard some good stuff about the guy. I keep forgetting that he was also in the movie Accepted, Robin Lord Taylor, because he was the one of, like, the really weird, well, I was going to say, that whole movie was filled with really weird
him
guys.
Him being weird so totally makes sense, though.
But exactly, so... he was, you know, he talked very frankly about things, and he really enjoys, you know, doing the Penguin, and he very much loves everybody that he works with on Gotham. They got picked up for a fourth season, apparently, so that's a good thing for them. That's,
yay.
And it's like he's now starting to evolve in the character of the Penguin. He said that, like, to do the actual Penguin walk, they put, like bottle caps from water bottles into his shoes.
Huh.
So it's like, after a while, one day he didn't have those, and now it's like, nope, I got it. I don't need them anymore. So there might be, like, some of his season one shoes somewhere that still has the bottle cap, and they made a joke. It's like, we will donate this battle cap to your charity. Here, have it. And he'll be like, okay. Alright, fine, thanks.
Okay.
We're not going to get anything out of it. I mean, somebody would probably freaking buy it. I bet I would be willing to bet you. You know, actually, you'd be like, oh, yeah. This was worn by Robin Lord Taylor. But so he was funny. You know, they talked the Penguin. They talked, I mean, definitely it was mostly a talk about Gotham and all that because, well,
yeah.
That's the show. So, sat through that. Nice guy. That was all very fun. You know, fun to sit through. Saturday, so that was all I did for, you know, with the panels on Friday, because then I went back to the hall and just kind of, actually, not long after that, I probably skipped out on the day. I'm just like, okay, that was it. Like, I got done about 4. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm good. I can head home. I can relax. You know, beat some of the traffic. Not much, but some. yeah, exactly. Saturday, going against the Guardians with Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn. That panel started off pretty funny. And I told you guys that when I met up with you. So we get there, and Aaron Sagers, great guy. I mean, you guys ran into him too. I know, April, you were saying you ran into Aaron Sagers at one point, or
well,
he like
actually,
ran by
he
you.
Ran past me.
Yep. I mean, just he's just a nice, down to earth guy. I remember him from last year running some of the, running some of the panels and whatnot, moderating the panels. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think he was on his way running. Someone said, oh, he was getting ready to go moderate. One of the media guests wouldn't go on without a moderator.
Yeah, it was weird.
Huh. Interesting.
I figured it was one of the art, like the artist people or whatever. They just kind of probably don't do public talks very much. One of the famous art guys.
So, of course, Rooker is tardy. So, Rooker's running late. So, Aaron Sager and Sean Gunn come in. And they're actually saying, well, this is going to be the more intelligent portion of the show.
Oh.
So yeah, you know, like, because, you know, Rooker just really gets into rants and couple word answers and all that. Don't get me wrong, I mean, Michael Rooker is funny as hell, but yeah, he's just not the most eloquent of person. And actually, there is a video of that. The Detroit Free Press actually did the whole video of it. And I know I shared it on Twitter, and you watch that, you know, as soon as you start watching it, there's some dapper motherfucker in a Marvel black t-shirt in the front row. Oh, wait, that was me, bitches. So there's
okay.
A video where I'm right there. I'm right behind this guy. So my parents have actually been like, hey, we saw you. I'm like, yeah, that's
wait,
cool.
They were broadcasting this? Probably for news or something?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's on Facebook.
Funny.
It's totally on Facebook. But yeah, Sean Gunn and then Aaron Sagers were up there, and you know, a lot of people. Sean Gunn had said that he's actually seen people doing cosplay as Gilmore Girls characters. Because,
that's cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, because I mean, he's since that besides Guardians, that's his big next.
That's
biggest
what I know
role.
Him for. He's
yeah.
awesome as Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, you want to hear a funny story on that one? Apparently, they gave him that name, but he actually showed up in the first couple of episodes as Mitch.
Hmm.
Like this delivery guy or DSL installer, and as he said, that kind of dates where how old the show is when it's DSL. So when they actually decided to keep him in full time, the writer kind of forgot that they already gave him a name, so then they named him Kurt.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's like you watch the first couple of episodes, he's Mitch, and then when he's on for the rest of the show, he's Kurt. So that went on for about 15 minutes, and that was, you know, you can definitely watch that video. It was funny, it was, you know, nice to hear him talk, and then Rooker shows up. And it's like, well, there goes the intelligent portion of this panel. Or they said something along those lines, but it was just kind of funny. So
does he talk like his character in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, yeah.
And, I guess he would be the same as Merle then on the...
Yeah.
So he does talk like that in character then.
Yeah.
Out of character, I should say.
That really is him. And of course...
That's awesome, though.
And I mean, I was glad that actually Sean Gunn brought up the fact it's like how he loves working with his brother. I mean, he couldn't imagine working with anyone else. I know I've got my notes here somewhere. But, yeah, it's like he loves working with his brother. I know I've always heard video, yeah, that sounds good, seen video and seen articles where he says that his brother loves working with him because not only does he play Kraglin, he's the on-set... He's actually on his hands and knees, and he's the on-set Rocket Raccoon. So it's like when Yondu or, you know, Peter Quill are actually looking down at somebody, looking down at Rocket, when they're filming it, they're actually looking at Sean. He's actually there, like, with his face looking up so that they, you know, kind of can put where his eyes are going to be later. They're like a benchmark for the CGI. So, I mean, he does a lot of shit for his brother. So, I don't know if I'd do that much shit for my brother, you know, like, be his little bitch at work, but...
That's funny, though.
And you know, they act, and they're like that. They're brothers at home, they're brothers at, on set, so it's nice to hear that. Just, there's no separate relationship. That, you know, I thought that was kind of heart, you know, it lightened my heart. I was like, oh, that's nice. Rooker, again, still frickin' hilarious. At one point, right at the very end, it's like, okay, let's get some last minute questions. Grabs the wireless mic, jumps down, goes right down to the line where the microphone is. He's like, you know, putting the microphone in people's faces, and it's like, you know, ask a question. He's like, yes! And then, next person, yes! And it's just like one, literally, yes, yes, yes. Points to somebody that's not even in line. He's like, I don't even have a question. Yes!
That's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was, I enjoyed that a lot. So, I mean, I got to see Rooker twice, and that was, oh, that man is kind, I'm looking forward to see whatever he does. I really actually wanted to ask him at one point, I'm like, would you work with Kevin Smith again? Because remember, he was in Mallrats way back when. I almost wanted to get a picture signed by him and him, like, sign it saying, yes, I would like a chocolate-covered pretzel. To Chris, yes, I would like a chocolate-covered pretzel. So that was Saturday. Oh, that was early Saturday. The second panel I sat in on was a little, you know, not... you know, celebrity-wise. It was about podcasting with the pros. Mm-hmm. Good things I found out from them, so since, as we are podcasters,
woo!
You know, the podcasting community really is, and they're like, these guys, with the Elegant Weapon podcast, it was run by the host of the Comic Pros and Cons podcast, and then all the others do other ones. Drunk on Comics, An Elegant Weapon, which, you know, is a reference to the lightsaber in Star Wars. And I can't remember the third. I know one of them does work with, I have my business card right here, that Source Fed or Source Feed Pod or something like that. Do you remember which one, you know?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so, oh, Source Point Press. So they do, like, you know, with podcasts through them or something like that. So
the only podcasters I saw were the Detroit podcast.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they were all really down-to-earth guys, really open about, you know your voice, pick your niche, because apparently there's like 3,000 new podcasts weekly.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, so, you know, find your niche, pick your niche, you know, work with it. The show, like, even with us, even with our podcast, we're into nearly a year's worth of episodes, all of us. Woo!
Yeah, episode 48.
Exactly.
Actually, that is right. Four more episodes, you know, and we'll be,
you know, we are not the same people. We are not the same podcast that we were when we started a year ago.
That's correct.
Just, you evolve and you learn, and it's good stuff like that.
Hopefully, we have.
Apparently, the community is really good at networking. You got to network your shit out. So, like I think what we're going to need to do is, you know, partner up with some of, you know, like we could partner up, talk to these other podcasters, these groups, and whatnot. It, you know, it's just a matter of getting our name out with them and, you know, vice versa. It's like we're all trying to, you know, enjoy what we're doing. So they had a lot of good info. I know they were recording it, so hopefully when I find out that they've posted that, we can actually put up a link about from that recording that they did for that Sorry, even though I did get a nap once I got home, my brain is still kind of baked from the whole damn weekend. So
you did have to drive 3 hours just staring at road. So
you understand where I'm coming from.
I gotcha.
So yeah, once I actually see that they've actually posted that, yeah, I'll definitely be posting something on Twitter and whatnot about getting the whole word out about that.
Hell yeah.
So that was pretty. So that'll be pretty good. Next panel I sat in. So that was all Saturday. So now I'm back. Now I'm on to Sunday.
Woo.
Sunday. Two quickies. You know, I got there. You know, I got there early and I did my early stuff, looking around and whatnot. Bought a couple of Funko Pops, but we'll go into that later. I sat through the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers one. So
Woo!
Again, two panels in 2 days. One person was freaking tardy.
Well, there's like a lot of them, isn't there? Like three or something like that?
No, there was only two. There was only Amy Joe Johnson, the original pink, and Jason David Frank, that was the original green.
That would explain why I saw a bunch of green Power Rangers today.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of green Power Rangers.
I didn't see
Rangers,
one
yeah.
single pink Power Ranger.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that really tall pink Power Ranger. Yeah, I saw that person.
There was one? I didn't see any.
Oh, yeah, there was. Like, somebody was, like, 6 foot tall, freaking.
That's hilarious.
In like, a spandex pink ranger outfit. Yeah, you missed that.
I don't know if I missed it, or, you know.
You gladly missed it.
Yeah.
So I sat through that. Amy Jo Johnson showed up first, you know, and then at one point, boom, Jason David Frank shows up, and, you know, she's talking about her new movie. It's like, you know, Power Rangers was her first acting gig, and, you know, really kind of taught her how to take direction and to grow. You know, it's like what any of us, you know, you go to college, you learn this stuff, but then you don't really know how to use it until you use it in the field and really learn. It's like, yeah, that might be all well and good in books, but, you know, it doesn't work as well in the real world. So you have to adapt and really learn how things work. So, you know, she was talking. Sorry. Holy. Okay. Are we good, Chris? Yes,
check,
we're good,
check,
Chris.
Check.
So she was talking about her experiences with Power Rangers, her movies, like the shows she did, and then like the last show she did, Flashpoint, not to be confused with Flash, the Flash and Flashpoint.
Yeah.
That's when Flashpoint. She decided, you know, got the thought, you know what, I'm going to go behind the camera. So that's when she really looked into producing, writing, and directing, and now she's done a couple of short films, and now she's got this one that they were that the VIP showing for, The Space Between. It will be releasing to iTunes in September. So, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, going to be a good film, and she's got others she's working on, one that's kind of, you know, going to touch her, you know, get to her heart, where she's talking about, like, her mother and stuff like that. So, yeah, it sounds like she's really finding like this little she's finding herself by finding her, you know, getting behind the camera and doing other stuff that way. Jason David Frank was very down to earth. Just, you know, he actually stood up at a couple of times and actually did the, it's like, what was the, you know, worst thing about that? And, you know, they're talking about the uniforms, and it's like, oh, no, the TV ones are so much easier. The costumes, when we had to be doing the movies, there was all this wings and extra stuff, and it's like that took a while to get out of. And, yeah, I couldn't imagine wearing spandex and having to do that shit all the time. I'd be like, no.
Today was not a good day to wear spandex.
No, oh, good Lord, no. Yeah, especially, yeah, after 2 days, that third day, the bathrooms, I'm just saying.
What was it that John Barrowman was wearing?
The TARDIS dress?
Yeah, the skirt or the...
It was a dress, and there was leggings.
Leggings. Yeah,
leggings.
He had to rip them off in the middle of the panel. Like,
oh,
he literally laid on his back, and then, like...
Stuck his foot out, and the deafness interpreter, he made her peel it off his leg, and then she wrapped it around her neck like a scarf.
It was great.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, now would probably be a bad time to tell you that I have the shits. He's like, no, kidding.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Oh, no. Oh, damn. So yeah, they were really good. Jason David Frank actually took a selfie, and I still am looking for that to pop up online because I know I got my fucking head right in the middle.
Did he take a selfie himself?
I was like, you know, I was front row for that goddamn.
But if you go check his Twitter or.
Oh, I've looked so far. I haven't seen it pop up yet, but he might just be getting, you know, getting relaxed, getting home here soon. But yeah, once I see that, that's going up there. It'd be like, I was right there, like, fuck you, bitches, I'm here.
Did you get the footage of the one person stuffing the money in his crotch?
Oh, God, yes.
People were stuffing money in John Barrow.
He's like, $1? You're a bitch or something like that. Cheap bitch. And then some other lady, he's like, oh, you have a 20? And she does it again and gives him a 1.
He's like, another one, cheap bitch.
You're still a cheap bitch.
He ended up giving it to the interpreter and said, donate it to a deaf charity.
Oh, see, yeah, he's that sounds like, you know, John Barrowman sounds like a nice down to earth guy, kind of like my last panel. Here was a lucky fact for me today. that was 11:30, room 1. As soon as I left the panel, I went right back into the VIP line right there. Boom, right to get right in for Will motherfucking Wheaton. He went on with no moderator, no nothing.
Wow.
It was just him for 1 hour. I mean, literally an hour. When we got out of there, you guys didn't go to the Billy Piper one.
No.
The Billy Piper people were probably getting a little pissed because Will Wheaton took up the entire damn hour. He was on from 1 to 2, you know, from like 1, and he was, you know, Billy Piper was supposed to be in that room at 2. It's like, nope, he just kept talking. It was basically the Will Wheaton stuff was about 20 minutes stand-up comedy. most of that was revolving around, and I shit you not, I mean, I should have recorded this, but I remember it. He was backstage. He met up with Sean Astin in the green room because Sean Astin was doing the panel in the next room an hour before that. So they probably crossed paths right before Will had to go on, and apparently the two of them were going for the same roles all the time. And Sean Astin was like, you know, I'm kind of mad that you got Stand By Me, and Will's like, but you got Goonies and Rudy and Lord of the Rings.
Right? So
it's like, don't even talk, bro.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is a pretty big one.
So he's about to, you know, he's like, well, I got to go on, and he's like, you know, see you later, babe. Why did I say that? So lonely. He's talking for the first 20 minutes like he can't believe that he called Sean Astin babe. He's going to say, see you later, buddy. But he's like, see you later, babe. I was like, what? Yeah. So, it was 20 minutes stand-up show. 20 minutes talking about Big Bang Theory. Some of the stuff he's done online.
Did he talk about his gaming, like tabletop and all that?
A little bit, you know. Like somebody asked him, "What is his favorite game?" And it's like, well, apparently he used to play Diplomacy, so he's got mental issues from playing Diplomacy, like some of us do. That game is, if you've never played Diplomacy, that game is a bitch and a half. I get nightmares thinking about that game. But he's liking these games right now that are like 30 minutes long, easy to play. Splendor, Sushi Go, Codename, stuff like that. And I've played Splendor before. That's a pretty good game. I wanted to ask him about Titan's Grave, but I'm just more happy just being there, second row, right in the aisle, 15 feet away from him. I've got some pretty damn good pictures of him that I snapped. He literally the audio guy pulled back the tables, and Will's just like, you know, Will's like, pull back the tables. I just want to stand up here. And he's just standing up there, just being all nice and nonchalant. And it was, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it's all good. You know, just looking at us and talking to all of us. And then he got in 20 minutes of where, you know, somebody actually asked him about his depression, because he's not shy about saying about how he's had depression. He actually has, some sort of anxiety disorder, like a light and then chronic, chronic depression. And it's like, you know, that happens, you know, mental, I mean, we all know mental illness is nothing to fuck around with. I mean, And he's talking to, like, you know, you wouldn't see somebody with a broken leg and be like, oh, just keep walking on it, you'll be fine. And he's like, that's the negative thing with mental illness. It's like, oh, you know, people are just saying, you'll be fine. Just, keep doing your life and do your thing and you'll be okay. No, you got to treat it. So he was really passionate about talking about that. So I liked that. I mean, yeah. I felt very inspired. I had the biggest ass grin on my face watching him talk, listening to him and just hearing his stories, talking real, just being real. And that's what I've always enjoyed about Wil Wheaton. Like, he's so very thankful for his wife because she's really made him a, better person in his life. So, Anne Wheaton, we thank you. We thank you for, keeping Will normal and sane and happy. So we thank you for that. Yeah. If I ever, ever, ever have a chance to sit down with him, even for 5 minutes, I would be
glad. 5 minutes is all you need. We talked to him for about 5 minutes today.
Yeah.
Nice. Exactly. That's all you need. It's like 5 minutes and you're blessed with that time.
5 minutes and it was like we'd been talking for a while.
Yeah, it's like it's just there's something about the man.
I mean, when we got our picture with him last night, you could tell he was tired.
Oh yeah,
he said he went back to his room and crashed at like 8:15.
Yeah, and the thing is, and this will be something that you guys will respect because of your interactions. You had two interactions with him. He would normally not go up to a con and say. If he was on stage, he'd be like, nope, you guys suck. I don't like you guys or anything like that. But he said truly right at the very end, he's like, Motor City Comic Con is one of the best conventions. All of every interaction that he had had the entire weekend was positive. It was great seeing the fans, how, everybody's not, there was no, hey, you're a Dick Wheaton or anything like that. And just,
yeah.
He's just very thankful, and that just proves that, us fans are, we don't have to be dumbass fans. We're not dumbasses. We love our people, and he was just very, very, very happy for all of us.
I think part of it is I don't think he realizes just how much people like him.
Yeah.
I don't think he realizes how many fans he really has, because I saw one of his tweets once where he said he acts like he's not even famous because he doesn't feel like he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, he doesn't truly know how really famous he is with all of us. And, of course, he left with saying just, be good, have fun, don't be a dick and play more games. And I would tell you about half the people stood up. Like I stood up. I was like halfway in. I was like, okay, when he's all done, I'm standing up, giving him a standing ovation because damn, that's how I felt. Just damn. Oh, and that was the last panel I did. I wrapped up my day and I headed home. I'm like, there's nothing more that I need to do. I've just now had what I needed. Drop the mic. I'm out. Thank you, Motor City Comic Con 2017. I'm out. So, yeah, that was my last panel. So, I know, now that I've expunged for about 20-some minutes or so, but lots of good stuff. Good. All right, so next, what do we got?
All right, so we met some actors in addition to outside of the panels. We actually got to talk to some actors and get autographs and pictures taken with them. We'll start with John Francis Daly, which I'll let April talk about since she's a way bigger fan than I am in some regards.
John Francis Daly.
As she holds up the picture of him.
Well, keep in mind, going into Motor City Comic Con, I had in mind that I was going to meet two actors. I left meeting four.
Yep.
Nice.
John Francis Daly was a whim, and I think it was one of my best whims of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because while we're waiting in line to talk to him, they got music playing, and Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party came on, and me and Jason are sitting there, we're kind of singing along, and I think he kind of noticed, because when he signed my picture, he said, April and Jason, you guys rock.
Yeah.
He was fun. He was very nice, very down to earth. I talked to him about how much I liked his character, Sweets.
yeah.
Because that's what I know him, because I never really cared for Freaks and Geeks. But, and I said that his character, Sweets, really got me interested in psychology because he made psychology interesting.
Yeah.
He made it more, not really exciting, like happy exciting, but more just thrilling exciting. He made it seem like it wasn't a boring profession. So, and he said he's actually not surprised to hear that because he's actually had actually heard that a lot that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying it to him, but oh, he was an experience definitely that one should have because he's just so nice and down to earth.
It was unfortunate though that he didn't have as big of a line as a lot of the other actors.
I know, but so. That was part of the appeal as to why. Yeah, I was like, you know what?
It's easier to go up and approach.
I've got
him
the money. I'm
going
to go say hi to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even though he's not getting many fans, it's good to hear from the ones that really like him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He was around, like, I thought, you know, he seemed as nice as he was in Bones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was decently priced, too. I think because they knew he wasn't going to pull as much of a crowd, you could get a photograph, one of his pictures autographed, and a selfie for what you paid.
Yeah, nice. It was relatively expensive compared to some of the other people.
Because I didn't do the professional photo op with him. I just picked one of his pictures. Yeah. I almost picked the one with him and all of them from Seeley and Bones' wedding. But I'm like, you know what? This is about him. I want a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I picked one that actually said Bones on it because that's what I like him from. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it was short and sweet. Like, what, I'd say 5 minutes?
If that.
But it was a very pleasant 5 minutes.
We had more time with some other of them than him, but yeah.
I had more in-depth conversations with some of them than I did him, but it was still very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, literally, it's sweet. John Barrowman. So, yeah, just get out that picture to inspire you as your whole... Literally groping
his crotch is in my boobs.
There was no room for me to touch his ass because she had her hands on his ass. I got my thumbs on his ass when we did the photo.
But it was all his idea. Right before we started the John Barrowman pictures, he comes out of the booth with a megaphone saying, "If you're 18 and over, anything goes, just no kissing." Because he said in his panel that the last time he was like, "Mwah."
There was a lot of kissing.
There's a lot of kissing with one of his conventions.
Yeah.
He ended up getting swine flu.
Oh, no.
So he said no more kissing, but anything else goes. You know, grope him, hug him, but he couldn't pick anybody up because he had a bad shoulder.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
So immediately Jason and I were like, yeah, we're going to grab his ass. And I even walked in as soon as I walked up.
I think I was encouraged to decide that.
As soon as I walked up to him, I said, "Oh, just so you know, I'm going to grab your ass." And he's like, "All right."
Yeah.
As you can tell from the finger on the mouth, yeah.
No, not at all.
Oh, my gosh.
No, he didn't enjoy that at all.
No, not at all.
He even said when we got in line and he autographed it as we're leaving, he like does the shoulder squeeze and says, "Hey, thanks for the butt grab."
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, he's such a down-to-earth man, though. It's like, and funny. Just straight-up funny.
Oh, my gosh.
He's the kind of guy you invite to
him, his sister, and his husband. They were all really, really great.
Yeah, I also have Carol. If we're going to talk about Carol. Because his family, just in general, like... well, the people who was with him, like... Because I don't know what the one lady was.
Kelsey, I think it's his assistant.
Yeah, assistant or something. Like, she was with him, like, the whole entire time helping or whatever, but... Like, you know, like, Carol was hilarious, though, because she was it her that was trying to encourage us? No, it was one of the helper or whatever trying to encourage us to be louder than, which one was it that we were trying to be louder? Frank, I think it was one of the Power Rangers.
Yeah, we were trying to be louder than Jason Duke, yeah.
David Frank's group. So, as soon as he showed up, we were just, like, screaming as loud as we could possibly be. So, no. I don't know.
But she did call... No, the one lady called us a bunch of girls, and we didn't scream loud enough
for Carol. Yeah, so they had to yell louder.
You're a bunch of girls!
You're a bunch of girls!
It was just that whole... Yeah, it was great. And they had merch there. We bought a CD. I bought a t-shirt. She had her books there, like the trio of books. They were selling them three of them for 30.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was an interesting series. I don't know if it's one of the ones that appeal to me, but it would definitely appeal to a lot of people out there.
I might read it, just to see.
So I did talk to somebody, and I do know It's like about a brother and sister.
They're dancing, and they get powers.
No, that's the one standalone book.
Oh, that was the fourth book.
Yeah, that was okay. The standalone book.
Okay.
The Conjurer or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that one is, yeah, somebody that has powers via through music.
Yeah.
The brother and sister have powers through their drawings. Like, they can bring their drawings to life.
Mm-hmm. That was, like, one of the, what was that movie or TV series that you had? That
Haven.
Was a kid? Yeah, Haven. There was a kid with that power in it. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool. Well, it wasn't cool, because he was actually doing bad things with it.
Well, he was being forced to do bad things.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. And then we got to meet Will Wheaton.
Which is a very awkward picture, but I think it was because it was the end of the day, and they were they were putting emphasis on the fact of do not touch.
Yeah, it was weird, because they said do not touch unless you touch him, kind of thing. I'm like,
unless he touches you.
Yeah. Unlike John Barrowman, who was just straight up like, whatever you want.
Get in here and molest me, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, he's just kind of standing there, so I'm just like awkwardly hands,
hands to our side, his hands to the side, we're just smiling at the camera.
It's all polite awkwardness, but I love it.
He does an awkward smile, we do awkward smiles, it's kind of funny, I like it.
The lady who was writing our names, so you noticed our names, I said, but I just love the awkwardness of this photo, and she's like, it is highly amusing.
he was overall, he was just super friendly, he completely did a 180 in the morning when we were there. I kind of felt like he would be grumpy, but he was actually pretty happy and bright and cheerful and everything.
Well, he was pretty excited that we cheered for him. He was kind of surprised, I could tell. But then they were cheering for somebody behind him, and he was all like, thank you.
That's they were cheering for him.
So and I could tell that cheering. Put him in a good mood, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
But yeah, and then, last but not least,
yeah, we had,
on a whim, I decided, what the hell, I've only ever seen him in Black Sails, but I'm gonna go meet Zach McGowan.
He's also been in...
The 100,
which I've seen, it's very good.
And S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
He's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. There was something else someone was saying he was
in. Yeah, he was in the fourth one, but I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen it, so.
I think someone said, Shameless or something. I can't remember. Anyways, totally not what I expected, but I was very, very excited.
Assuming you could understand and hear him, because he was very...
deeper, scratchy voice.
Yeah. It's because he's been talking all day, or yesterday and the whole weekend.
But he plays Captain Vane on Black Sails. Who, for anybody who knows their pirate history, knows that Captain Vane actually existed.
Yar.
So we talked about that mostly, about the fact of, him getting to play a pirate that actually existed.
Well, I think he was trying to relate the fact that he was getting involved with the character by knowing it, wanted to be part of that character.
Right, but it's kind of, when he always making the point, it's kind of hard to do when there isn't much history on
him. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. So,
I told him that I just started getting into Black Sails. I kind of binge-watched most of season one, never seen it, bought the DVD of season one and that. And so when he signed my picture, he wrote, April, welcome to the crew.
Yar.
And he's just the sweetest guy. He did a selfie with me, and I was so glad I met him. It was just fun talking pirates with him the whole time.
Oh, yeah. So, those are the actors that we actually got up close and got to talk to. We did see, however, a lot of actors.
I gawked. I'm not gonna lie. I'm shameless. I gawked.
Yeah, we really gawked hard at Sean Astin.
Apparently, I gawked harder than the two of you combined.
Well, you were staring at him. I was just like, hey, he just seems so, happy this morning. I'm like,
I was just full-on staring at Sean Astin. I didn't care.
That was funny. He didn't notice us looking at him, though. He was, too involved with this group.
Nope. Let's see. I'm trying to think of who I gawked at. I saw Amy Dumas.
If you notice, though, his crowd, there was almost nobody there. And then as soon as he showed up, everybody just started pooling there. Uh-huh. Literally within 10 minutes, he had the whole entire line pretty much filled.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, wow, I don't know where they came from, but they just were meandering about, and they saw him there, and they just started lining up. So.
But I saw Anthony Michael Hall for about a minute when we were waiting in line for our photo with John Barrowman, because he was peeking his head through the curtain of his room. stare down Austin Emilio. Apparently, I didn't look at her, but somebody said that when they were in line to meet Barbara Eden, about five people back from the head of the line, there's John Barrowman standing in line, waiting his turn very patiently to meet Barbara Eden.
Barbara Eden being Jeannie.
Jeannie, from My Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, yes.
Saw Herbert Jefferson Jr. a couple times. He didn't have a really big crowd. I was kind of disappointed in that, since he's, you know, in such a popular show.
I agree.
We looked at James Remar a few times.
Yeah, we saw him a couple times.
I'm not gonna lie, I totally stared down John Barrowman when him and his assistant walked, like, literally, like, within 10 feet of my shoulder.
It wasn't hard to not see them for some reason, so...
Joseph Gatt. He's kind of creepy looking. It's kind of hard to not gawk at him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, seriously.
The whole bald thing where the chest... Well, he didn't have a shirt on, I don't think, right?
No, he did.
It just was, like, a very open shirt or something. So, like...
It's like he wears dress shirts, but, like, keeps half of it unbuttoned.
Yeah. I mean, that's part... Maybe that's his character. I don't know his characters, but...
I saw the chick Zuzu, Carolyn Grimes. I saw her in passing.
Who was the Candyman?
Tony Todd.
Yeah, Tony Todd. Yeah, I looked at Tony
him
Todd.
Too.
Yeah, I saw Tony Todd.
Cool.
Christy Swanson, I saw her a couple times. LeVar Burton, yeah. I totally stared down LeVar Burton.
Yeah, and he was, like, over there and, like, talking about, like, some of the stuff. Oh, like, I didn't know he actually did some of the Star Trek. Like, he wasn't just an actor. He also did the directing for stuff, too. And, like, he was talking about that. Because I could overhear him over when we were standing in line over his conversations. Talking to some of the people,
so. And of course, we looked at Lou Ferrigno a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, definitely watched that guy a couple times.
I saw Marky Ramone.
He was right on the corner, too. It was easy to see him.
Martin Starr. Mm-hmm. Mina Savari had the cutest little dress suit outfit on
today. Yeah, she did.
Bright red. It was cute. Never saw Rob Schneider. Never saw Robin Lord Taylor. Saw Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
The old guy, Scott Wilson, I saw him. Stared down Sean Gunn.
Yeah, we stared at him quite a few times.
I actually have friends. I had friends that were there. I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but they got a picture from, like, across the aisle of Thomas Ian Nicholas, you know, when he didn't have a crowd. And I swear to God, he saw them and smiled when they took his picture. Who else did I stare down? I don't remember. I know I drooled at Zach McGowan a few times, but I ended up meeting him.
We saw Billy Piper. I saw Billy Piper closer when she was
in the back.
Her
head,
because I pointed out, because, like, when Barrowman and Piper were doing the two duo photo or whatever, like, we could kind of peer in and see them from the
But side. My first Sean Astin moment was, I kind of call it my Tesla moment, because back in the 90s when me and my mom and dad went and saw Tesla, me and my mom saw the lead singer walk out the side before everybody else, and we went woo and he went woo. Well, I had a Sean Astin moment. I saw him walk around the side and walk to his booth before anybody else saw him.
Yeah, you did point it out first.
I was like, oh, there's Sean Astin. I'm amazed he didn't hear me.
It was pretty quiet.
We're all just waiting for Will.
And I'm like staring down. I'm like, okay, who am I going to see? I saw Will Wheaton. I'm like, oh, there's Thomas E. Nicholas or whatever his name is. He's like, where? Where? I'm like, right there. I saw Mina sneak in with her little suit dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there was some hardcore, you know, not stalking, but staring at people. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there was some gawking. There was some total shameless gawking.
Yeah,
poor Sean Astin was, like, the main target, but, you know, whatevs. My friend Liz was proud of me.
Yeah, I mean, I know I buzzed by the Weird Science people quite a few times. Definitely saw James Remar several times, Lou Ferrigno several times. I saw Mina Savari a couple of times. There was just...
I think of all the times I walked past, I saw Shannon Elizabeth once.
Yeah, me too. And I saw that Thomas E. Nicholas once, but I mean, I saw him
quite a bit, but we walked to the actors quite a bit because we wandered a lot.
Right, yeah. I did walk by Rob Schneider. I saw him Friday. I didn't think he was looking all too well, so I don't know if he just had some jet lag or whatnot, but yeah.
Rob Schneider,
but overall, there was definitely some good gawking going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Definitely some people worth gawking at.
Speaking of gawking, we also gawked at artwork.
Yes, we did.
Shit, tons of artwork. So much artwork.
$180 worth of artwork?
Oh, more than that. I dropped way more than that on artwork.
Dude, okay, yeah. Yeah, just one purchase. You dropped 200 in one shot, Jason.
Well, no, yeah.
He was like 20 shy at doing that.
Yeah, well, no, because you have to add tax. The California
like $4
tax.
Shy.
I was $4
it was like,
shy.
Yeah, it was like 190 something. Yeah. Close enough.
196. But, yeah, I got every single member of Overwatch. Thank you, Wiz Yakaza, who was not there, like, in person, though, which is unfortunate, but apparently he's a California artist. If you go to his website, and I've got all the links for everything, for all the artists that we're going to be talking about in the show notes. It's fantastic. Like, some of this other artwork is pretty awesome, too. So, but if you look online, it's all sold out. And he sells everything for $14 or $15 on his website. So, if you go to the Comic-Con, everything was, what was it? $1 for $20?
It was $1 for $20, $4 for $40.
Yeah, so the best deal is $4 for $40. But if you buy enough of them, he was just like, the guy behind the counter is just like, make me a deal, or make me an offer. And I'm like, $180, all of Overwatch. And he's like, okay. I'm like,
the guy was like, boom, do it.
I'm like, fantastic. Of course, he's from California, so my card declines initially. And then I'm like, I didn't even think about checking my phone to be like, oh, there's a text saying, would you like to accept this? I'm like, oh, crap. So I ended up putting on my other card, which wouldn't be as, deny-y. Which is probably bad, because that probably doesn't have nearly as much card fraud protection or whatever, but... Still, anyways, shit tons of artwork, Yakuza, so fantastic artwork. I cannot find a picture of the artist, though, so that's weird. Other artwork, Chris was here for that, the Mats. Oh, you found a picture of him?
Yeah, no.
By Nolan Nasser.
Yeah, the Nolan Nasser, he's got this work called Astra, I think is what it was. And that's what, like, his world is, I think, that he's creating all these images from. And it's, like, you know, a futuristic kind of, like, cool, like, planetary kind of thing. And I bought two of his mats because they were freaking fantastic. So,
oh, my God. Exoplanets one.
Yeah.
That was the one that caught my eye.
That
I'm
was
like,
a given.
Damn, that looks sweet.
Anything that just reminds me of super awesome, like, NASA pictures of space with planets and all that, oh my god, with color, oh shit, so fantastic.
And there was even one of those pictures, or two of those pictures, April's like, I could take that picture and I could make a character, you know, I could make a boss out of this guy, and I could make an adventure out of it. The one with the hand.
And they were kind of impressed by that.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, that was some good stuff.
There were so many good artists, but yeah, all their stuff was in mats, though. I mean, I think you could buy prints, but like everything that like was mainly, and it was like sort of reasonable because it was like what, 2 for $40?
Mm-hmm.
So it was $20 for these huge mats, like, and they were like kind of mouse pad mats. Although I don't know if I'd use them for mouse pads because they're too pretty. Use them so maybe as like things for your table or whatever, pieces for your table. But moving on. We also met this other one. This is what we were talking about, the black and white work. J.M. Dragunas. J.M. Dragunas at BigCartel.com. He's got some really great ink work. Like you were saying, it looks like the things you'd expect on
playing cards.
That kind of artwork. More line work, so it's probably more fine detail than what you'd see on playing cards. And he did Full Metal Alchemist. I bought that one. He did the Hogwarts symbols, and then he did the Hayao Miyazaki artwork, and it was pretty fantastic. So was it Hayao Miyazaki? Did we get the Hayao?
Yeah, you got the Hayao Miyazaki, the Full Metal Alchemist, and Hogwarts.
Okay. Yeah, so if you like artwork, like just pen and ink artwork, I would highly recommend him. He was probably one of the best pen and ink artists there. And I think he does do, if you ask him, you can hire him for whatever to do work.
Oh, he does commissions, yes.
Yeah. Another one that we thought was super cute was Bianca Roman Stumpf.
I would hope so. We bought three of her prints.
Yeah. yeah, she has really cute small pieces of art portraying various pop culture and original works. We bought some kind of cartoony versions of Supernatural, Doctor Who, and then
all the Doctors.
All the Doctors.
And then I picked out Toothless.
Yeah, it was a very cute Toothless piece there, too. But you can go to her website. She says it's easier to find if you go to her works and actually at her place, like her booths, than it is to find her. Or if you can get a hold of her in real life, because I think she works out of Detroit.
Yeah, because some of the stuff that exists, she was explaining, you know, like Doctor Who, Supernatural, yeah. Some of that stuff she can't sell on her website.
Yeah.
You actually have to go buy the prints from her at her booth.
Yeah, because I think it's the whole copyright stuff.
Yeah.
So you have to go to her booth to buy it. And, yeah, she was a really nice overall person. Like, mm-hmm. She was super friendly. The last one I've got, and it was one of the first pieces I bought, was by Buzz. He's got the website Just Buzz, and he does a lot of watercolor and pencil pieces. If you look at his website, though, it's almost all just pencil work. So he does a lot of comic book stuff, just the pencil works for that. But I found this picture of Cowboy Bebop, and like just watercolor Cowboy Bebop, and it's fantastic. So, definitely highly recommend him. And,
I bought my mom the trick-or-treat sucker that she
loved. Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what booth it was, but I was just like, oh my god, here, take my money.
Yeah. See, she saw it. She was like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what this is. I'm like, oh, yep, I know what that is.
I contemplated a print from someone, too, because it looked really cute. I'm like, I could get that for my mom, but I won't.
Oh yeah. We also got the Severus Snape from the
The guy that he bought every Overwatch print
character
that they had.
From.
I got Snape with his Patronus. Groot with the button.
The Groot with the button from Volume 2.
And then
2.
For Cheryl I got the Deadpool with the guns.
And you had one more, didn't you?
I did. I just gotta find Khaleesi with her dragon.
Oh yeah, Khaleesi. So from Game of Thrones.
Very wide varying range of taste.
So, like, when I was going down the artist alley, like, you know, I just love watching, I'm looking at all the artists. Like, there are certain people who have niches, like, the cat artist, for one.
Oh,
like, every single case
had a cat. I
ended
up giving that button to my mother, and she's like, oh, thanks. I don't know why, it was just a fucking impulse. A kitty that glows in the dark, why not?
Oh, yeah, Radio Cat-tiv.
Yeah, Radio Cat-tiv.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, see? I wasn't crazy.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, like, my overall...
The hugs, all those characters hugging.
Oh, gosh, all the friends and all that.
It was a cute idea.
Like, everybody was just hugging.
I completely forgot to grab that card from that person. I'm kind of pissed
now. Their cards on the web, or their names
it.
On the website. Oh, yeah, you got it, too.
Aaron Super draws hugs.
Supergrouphugs.com.
Supergrouphugs.com.
Yeah.
Supergroup.
As soon as they're like, our specialty is hugs, I'm like, taking a card.
Thank you, April.
It was mildly amusing. So, I mean, I can't.
Because there was no shame in the fact he's like, hello, we deal in hugs. Like,
oh my god, I'm looking at the stuff. I'm looking at their page right now. There's one of Falcon and Winter Soldier kind of doing a grudging man hug. Just kind of like, you know, at the arm's length hug. It's like.
And you kind of pound each other with your fist on the back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, nothing like that. Just kind of like, nope, keeping my distance. It's all good.
There were some other artists there that I would have loved to have bought artwork from, but they were asking for way too much. Like, $40 for print just seems overpriced for me. Yeah, for black and white, what looks like pencil copies. And he might have been one of the more higher-up artists, but, like, his work, compared to what I had paid for $180, or $200, let's say, rounded, is not no comparison. So, I mean, like, it's just so much detail going into this other artwork compared to what he has, and he thinks he can charge more for it, so.
And that one booth that had the metal bookmarks.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I liked the group prints. I literally had to walk away from getting money off of my card to buy the Supernatural one.
Yeah.
But I liked the Harry Potter one, too. I wish I would have gotten a card.
If you remember what the name was, we can
You mean
find
the
it.
One right by the Wiz...
They were in
a, one?
It was on a corner. It's the one that had the metal magnets. You said you
yeah,
bought some
Yeah, it was
last
the one
year.
By... It was Wiz Yakuza. It was that section, I think, what she's talking
that's
about.
That's Tony Santiago art.
So...
I bought from them last year. They're pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, like, they'll probably be there next year too with the same artwork. Because I saw a couple people who were just there from the same year with like just the same artwork too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I hope so. I mean, I was really glad to see that they were back and whatnot. So, I know I saw some like I saw Rachel Kaiser. She's the one that had the Stitch dressed up like Assassin's Creed. I like that one. I'm like, that was the one that I was like, hey, I'm back, and hey, look, I brought my friends. It's like, yes, I actually have friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. Was that number four? Or was that number two? No, it was number four. The first time was you showed us number four, or number three. I can't remember.
No, he's number three.
Yeah, you're number three, I think is how it worked out. And your other
That's how the second friend was describing it. Chris is number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, that, well, yeah. Well, no, this is the one
Chris
that
has friend numbers.
She was doing, like, the, the Dalek was getting shot. It was the one that you bought the gold Dalek bookmark from, Jason. It's that person.
Oh, you mean that you made friends with previously, earlier. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
She had a bunch of artwork, but it wasn't up my alley. Like, that kind of artwork. But the Dalek was probably the closest thing that I liked out of everything.
Did you buy a bookmark? Where's it at?
It's in one of the thingies at the bottom.
Yeah. So, yeah, she had good stuff. I wanted to get some of the, like, there was the 734 designs that had some of those big decals and the license plates. I might get with them later since they are local here and get some of their stuff. Like, get, you know, it was the one where Welcome to the Shire, Welcome to,
yeah, I don't think I saw that one.
Mm-mm. Welcome to Flynn's Arcade. Yeah, I know I passed by them. Yeah, yeah, thank you this year, Jason. It was, like, you know, you finally, you know, like, after last year,
my obsession,
like,
with art finally rubbed off on you, as you're saying.
Me too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we thank you for that, Jason.
Last year, I went into Artist Alley to find you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then we just left.
And this year, it was like,
this year, I spent $40, no, $60 if you count the sucker, and I had to walk away from buying more.
Yeah, it's easy to spend money there.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, I still have to figure out where I'm going to put those 22 prints.
You still have the ones from last year, other than the one that I got framed.
There's like a couple. But the thing is, they don't really match any of our current. I'll probably put those in my room upstairs, my other room. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to probably line the kitchen with the dining room with the Overwatch. So I'll figure out some crazy.
Well, you'll have to work around my medieval banner, because there's really nowhere else to put that.
Well, I'm sure we can find a spot for it.
Yeah, no, everybody's going to want to see pictures of that.
No, it won't fit anything that, whatever. We'll figure out something. I'm not worried about it. So, yeah, overall, like, the artwork is always fantastic. I love going there. And, like, I like going to the artists and just taking a picture of them with their artwork. So everybody who I bought artwork with that actually had the artist there, I took a picture of the artist with their artwork. So, and even some of the ones we didn't buy artwork from, I still took pictures from, because, you know, they're just nice people. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like Kellyanne?
Yeah,
she really liked talking to me.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I think the thing is that she was kind of trying to reach out to get people to come up to her, because she didn't have a lot of people stopping at her table.
Right,
so,
right.
Her artwork is different. So.
But it's cool, I like her dragon.
It's self-taught artwork, though, so that's different in some regards, because you don't have that spatial orientation stuff.
I know, but her
school.
Dragons are really nice.
Yeah.
And that one booth, they almost had me talked into their coloring book, because the guy said, if you color a page and post it on their Instagram and they pick it, you win the original piece of art.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I was tempted, cool. But the book was $10.
Yeah, so they're just trying to get you to buy the book, and then, you know, that's just, if you like the book, great. There's a couple people who had whole entire books of their artwork there that, for like $20-$30, and I'm just like, it was hard for me not to want to buy that, because it's just all that collection, but I prefer to have something to hang on a wall than to have it as a book, because I'm not going to really probably read the book.
Even though he won't hang stuff on the walls, he likes to have it.
Yeah, that's true. I do like collecting shit. Just random shit. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead. Move on to anything else that we want to talk about. So the 501st Star Wars was there. So we got to see shit tons of Star Wars people.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, thanks to you. And just thanks to the fact that they were over by the photo op booth, which is a good thing and a bad thing.
We had a very interesting conversation with a guy waiting for John Barrowman.
Just standing in front. And then he ended up not going to see him.
Well, what it is he does press. He used to record the panels And I guess they got shitty with
him. Well, he had a press badge.
Yeah, he was still there for press, but he wasn't...
It was not a press badge. He was an assistant to one of the people who was working there.
But he did press in the past. He used to record the panels, but I guess they hired some other media and said that you can't do that anymore and pissed him off, and so he...
Well, what really pissed him off was anybody who is part of the press group or whatever gets screwed over because you do not get to keep the rights to anything that you do for the Comic-Con. So anything that you have, pictures that you take under that stuff, is instantly theirs.
Yep, it's their...
They have the right to reject you being able to post it.
Yep.
Which is crazy. So...
You knew that, right, Chris?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So... Yeah, so, but he was just having, like, he was just going on a bunch of, and he was trying to help us out with a bunch of stuff. And
he was very nice, very informative. I enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, it was good, because they wouldn't let us line up to barrel him in for, like, 7 minutes. Like, we walk over there, and they're like, oh, you're going to have to, like, we can't let you congregate around here.
She's like, not right here.
And then I'm like.
But you can be, like, over there. Yeah,
you can be, not just right here. As long as you're not right here, you're good. She's like, and it'll be like, I like, ask her, I'm like, well, how long do we have to wait? Seven. And she's like, oh, it'll be,
quarter till.
And that was 7 minutes away. And I'm like, oh, okay, so we'll just walk over here. So we started talking to that guy for, like, 8 minutes, mm-hmm. 9 minutes. So, maybe he was a friendly guy. But, 501st Star Wars, saw quite a few Chewbaccas, you name it. We got a couple Princess Leias.
Had a nice conversation with a middle-aged guy in a fez.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah, we met him
that
as we were waiting
for... That
family
was really nice.
Yeah. They also let the other family come over and cut that must have been their friends or whatever into the group. Yeah, and then, like, one of them was the princess from Adventure Time, and it was mildly amusing. But they sat over on the side, so it wasn't really that annoying. But, yeah. Oh, and then for the thing, they let us move up seats. So they let us move up,
so we would have been row 5.
We would have been row 4.
No, we were row 4.
Yeah, we were row 4.
No. When we moved up, we were row 4.
No, because they had the thing, the first 3 rows are dedicated for the press. We were the row behind that.
No, because the family was in front of us. They were the row behind VIP, and then us. So we were row 4. We would have been row 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because we were behind the sign, mm-hmm. which they moved
so
the sign.
So we were row 4, right middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I was in the aisle. That's not me. But, that was great. So, overall, I enjoyed that. Talking to weird people. Oh, and then you had that weird guy who approached you.
Oh, the weird middle-aged short Asian man who creeped me out because he laughed hysterically over my their natural shirt for like a minute.
She has these two dice that say with D20s and like showing D20s in a natural crit, but yeah, they're natural, you know, suggesting that maybe it might not be the dice.
So we know what the Asian man was looking at.
Yeah. And he had to make sure that you knew.
And then there was a random Doctor Who guy that walked up to us today and started talking to me. We were standing next to Lou Ferrigno's.
Oh, yeah. He was a nice guy.
He was nice. I'm just like, random person talking to me.
Yeah, he just kind of walked up and he just struck up a conversation with us as we were waiting. I don't know, it's not me. Oh, it's probably this. Anyways, so, yeah,
yeah.
I think we're losing, possibly losing Chris. But we'll get him back in here. No, wait, he's here. He's actually in the conversation. So I don't know why he's not here. Like, we're losing him digitally, like maybe data wise or something. So. Anyways, so keep talking about stuff, but I will try to work on...
How about the fact that Rufio was there?
Oh, yeah.
Remember I said I saw Rufio?
Yeah. Hey, I think we got Chris back. Chris, are you there?
Rufio!
Yeah, there we go.
Did you see Rufio?
I didn't see Rufio. I just saw a picture of him.
I saw
online.
Rufio walking out the building. I'm like, Rufio!
But no Peter Pan!
Rufio. Well, because Rufio was the one everybody liked.
Yeah.
I swear, I saw almost as many cosplayers today as I saw yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, there was quite a few cosplayers
today. I think I actually found a lot more that I liked yesterday than today, but there was quite a few today.
I was, that's just it. So many divas and so many Soldier 76s.
Holy Negan and Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, seriously.
Well, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Do you know how much I would have been bombarded had I actually decided to wear my Negan Slugger shirt?
Probably a lot.
Oh, God.
I mean, this year was Negan Star-Lord, like last year it was Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly.
This year was all about the Spider-Man costume. This year was all about the Deadpool t-shirts, I've noticed.
I did see some Deadpools and Spider-Mans, you know, just get into this big group in front of the restrooms, though, and they were just kind of taking pictures with each other.
Yeah, that's kind
of wanted to walk up to them and say, hey, nice Spider-Man costumes, guys, and just, like, walk on. But I did not.
Yeah.
Batman's, of course.
I missed running into the two women I met on Friday that I wanted to see. They were going to do that Gone with the Walking Dead kind of thing, so I didn't get to run into them, which I was kind of pissed.
I did see a bunch. I saw a few of my Ren Faire friends yesterday. I saw my friend Stella, who's in the pirate group, and today I saw Amanda Allen and one of their children. Yeah. They were there for John Barrowman and Billy Piper.
Nice.
Considering this year Billy Piper showed up, so
there's a lot of Doctor Who, and I think it was because those two were there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like everybody seemed to have some like sort of it was Doctor like, Who shirt or Dark Tardis.
I mean, it was like
or
an overthrow of Doctor Who. There wasn't as much Doctor Who last year, yeah, even with Billy Piper supposedly
what?
Being there.
Oh, but there were a lot of Arrows too.
Yes.
So
yes.
So yeah, there was that. Yes. So I'm guessing because of John Barrowman. So. But
trying to think. Oh yeah,
Doctor Who presents.
How about Jareth and Sarah walking around today?
I saw that.
Wait, who?
There was two people dressed as Jareth and Sarah from Labyrinth. I pointed it out to you.
Oh no, I pointed it out to you too, and I was like, "Hey, did you see that?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, I already saw that." I'm like, "Oh okay."
Damn!
And then we had those two people who we had no clue what they were from. Like the guy who had vampire teeth and a cowl.
And no shirt. And then you saw
And
the
then
weird
he had his
guy.
Assistant with like his fingers that had like weird syringes and like an auto injector kind of thing.
Or how about the guy with no shirt that I remember what you call him, he was like an older guy and he had no shirt.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're talking about the Tex like Sanchez guy with the white mustache and beard and like the Mexican like sombrero.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is he? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But he's got, like, the bullet, like, reams or whatever they're called, they are for your, like, crossing your chest and all that. Like, the traditional Western movie. I'm like, I have no clue who this guy is, but it's hilarious just to watch him. I think I might have got a picture of him.
I remember saying, well, I guess it's a good excuse to not have to wear a shirt.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, if you want an excuse not to wear a shirt, just go as, Roadhog. Or... that guy. So, no, I don't think anybody would appreciate
it. You know, I'm starting to think that maybe Weird Vamp Guy might have been someone portraying Eric Northman from True Blood.
Maybe? I don't know.
He was a blonde vampire.
Maybe, he said, the thing is, I missed when the weird guy, not the weird guy, but the guy who came up and struck up a conversation or whatever with us, the nice guy by Lou Ferrigno, the one guy walked up to him and talked to him and he was like, hey, who are you? And he said something I couldn't hear what he said. So I was like, oh, crap. I'm like, I missed it. I was going to walk up to him and ask him then. I'm like, hey, what did you say you were? But it just seemed kind of important. You know, he just hit.
There was quite a few blue Mary Poppins.
Yep.
Oh, yep.
And I did see someone that had the little mohawk thing going on. That looked really cool.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Mary Poppins, y'all. Yeah, like the reverse.
You know, I think he's realizing that's going to be haunting him for a while.
Yeah. Did he make any reference to that in his, talks and his panels?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Yeah, I can believe it. Because it was just on the, you said it was on the, somebody said it was on the, like, they didn't even intend that to be in as part of it. Like,
Not entirely, but it wasn't completely improvised, so that was pretty awesome.
Okay, so I thought it was just all improv there at the moment. Like, they're just like, oh, hey, we're kind of worked out, you know, like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, according Chris to Sean Gunn, it's like, basically... Maybe 1% of their lines were actually improvised. James Gunn apparently has everything in his fucking head all the fucking time. He's like a super, not necessarily a super
Sean
perfectionist,
Gunn?
But he's got it all in his head.
Wait, Sean Gunn?
Or James Gunn, his brother, the director.
Oh, okay, 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 okay. Oh, like, I didn't know who his brother's name was. So. It's James. Okay. I've got one other thing, but if, I want to make it like their last bit that we're going to talk about.
Sure.
So, if we got anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
Anybody?
No, just an exciting weekend. I'm just so glad to get back there again.
Oh, yeah. My last bit that I have here, and I kind of want to end it on, it's come close to ending on, is John Barrowman pointed out that he has the new audio for Torchwood going to be coming out. And if you like how he was originally in Torchwood, you would like the audio that they're going to be doing. He couldn't give us any information about it, but except that, pretty much. Like, he could just kind of, like, you know, make comments about how much he likes it and how back, how much more back it was to, well, he used a specific word for it, golden or something like that,
something
the golden
like that.
Torchwood.
Well, what he said was, when they did, like, the whole season being one story, the first one being more in, you know, everything else being more in Cardiff.
Yeah.
And then when Miracle Day happened, they went to America and kind of changed things
up
a bit. And not a lot of people liked that and wanted to go back to the old weird way. He said, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
Nice.
So expect the more traditional, like, golden days kind of back with the new audio. So, but he also pointed out that we as the fans have to make it possible. He told us that the people who do the Doctor Who won't,
BBC.
The BBC won't let him back on specifically unless the fans kind of say enough to get him back on there. Me and April kind of speculate that the reason why is because the older doctors and him probably wouldn't jive. So maybe when they bring in this new younger doctor, it might work better.
And he even made it a point to say,
but
BBC has to answer every letter or response they get.
So we all should be looking up the directors and the people who are in charge of producing or deciding what gets produced at the BBC. Get their emails and email them. They have to respond to every, since they are a public company, they have to respond to every email.
Because he said every once in a great while, they'll contact and say, tell your fans stop contacting us.
Yeah.
So he's thinking maybe if we can, he can get enough people to contact him, they can't say that anymore and they'll have to do something about
it. Right, and they might actually bring Torchwood back as
Bring
him
back on Doctor Who or something.
Yeah. I mean, this audio thing is probably just them as a test, just to see how many people are still interested in Torchwood. So, but yeah, we need to contact the BBC and get them to get Torchwood going again. Mm-hmm. So, or at least get him back on the Doctor, which would probably start the whole Torchwood thing again, hopefully. So,
sounds like a plan.
So everybody out there, go contact the BBC. If we can find something, we'll all let you know.
We'll probably post it on the website,
yeah. This week I'm going to look into seeing if I can find the BBC people. So, and who we should be contacting. So, that's all I got.
So, yeah, so for all the celebrity geeks that have birthdays coming up, I didn't get to say anything, I'm sorry.
Sorry, special birthday people this week.
But we have an extra week for there to actually be D&D news. And you don't know how close we were to actually having Will Wheaton sign our catchphrase on our picture today. But I said that would be a lot to write.
We weren't sure if you would write it. So we've had some people actually go, you know, as far as that. So all you poor people, like, you know, Al Franken, Mr. T, we're sorry that we couldn't get to your birthday this week. So sorry about that. We'll continue on next week with our traditional, like, somewhat traditional. Oh, Ian McKellen, sorry for you not being your birthday son.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Sorry.
Fariza Balk. Judge Reinhold.
We'll just make special mentions. Lenny Kravitz. Hey,
I'll
like
just
your
do
music.
2 weeks worth next time.
Well, we'll just point out the important ones this week. So, anyways, thank you, Andre 3000 from Outcast. Hopefully, you have a good birthday. All right. So, with that, if there's nothing else, we'll conclude the Special Motor City podcast.
Woo!
Well, we know Booney's happy to be home. He's pretty much slept through the whole podcast.
Yeah, we do miss our little guy.
Yep.
That's who I talked about the most.
Probably been pretty technical.
Apparently, he is afraid of us talking to him on the phone.
Yeah, he just he does not like hearing us over the phone.
Did it once, and Ma said he freaked out. Freaked out. And anytime you had the phone, she had the phone, he'd just like look at her and walk away.
So, yep.
So, anyways,
great times to be had. And
you
we'll
know the rule.
Future.
We are on. On our website, you can listen on our website, www.ingloriousgeeks.com, or you can find our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. On Facebook, we are Inglorious Geeks. On Twitter, I am Inglorious _ Geek. Instagram, Inglorious Geeks 3. And any other way you want to find us, have fun with that. Email, you know, whatevs. So we are the Inglorious Geeks, so sit down.
Shut up.
And roll initiative.
I'm going to go pass out, everybody.
Later. Yeah, it was a pretty long week, so, and, thanks, guys, once again, and, sorry, Cal Penn, for missing your birthday as well, from here on tour. All right,
I am not washing my hands for a week.
Oh, yeah, I got some good handshakes, so.
Before or after your thumbs touched his ass?
Yeah. So. Anyways, I only got some thumb touching on that ass, not the
thumb
hands.
Toucher?
Maybe a few fingers got
He's
there.
He's a thumb bum toucher.
But somebody else's fingers beat me to it.
Oh, no.
All right, guys.
Bye, all.
We'll see y'all next week. Thanks, bye.